The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Midnight, straight up, here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. As the Knicks continue to flex their muscles, an absolutely dominating performance tonight in Game 1 as they boat raced the Sixers, who I'm sure came into this game tired, who came into this game a little bit emotionally spent, having battled back down 3-1 in a series to the Celtics, winning in Game 7 in Boston, and the Knicks were able to take advantage of that. So to me, it was that perfect storm of the Knicks are a team that has gone to a different gear. They've leveled up. They are playing incredible basketball, really a generational run on both ends of the floor. And everybody in that starting lineup is just clicking, including Mikal Bridges, who got essentially a standing ovation tonight from the Garden crowd as he walked to the bench, 17 points, 7 of 10 shooting, and another really strong defensive performance as you're getting the very best of Mikal Bridges over these last couple games. Dare I say, we are maybe not turned corner, but turning the corner on Mikal Bridges ultimately being unlocked here, which was one of the main reasons why you would hire a guy like Mike Brown, because Tibbs didn't get the best out of Mikal Bridges. And obviously we know the capital that was given up for Bridges, but not just that, you know the player that Bridges was in his previous stops. And that's the player that we haven't seen consistently with the Knicks. And that is the player that you want a guy like Mike Brown and a coach like Mike Brown to unlock. And during the first year of Mike Brown, I didn't see that Mikal Bridges often. That was unlocked. That was the guy you saw in Phoenix or the early stages of Brooklyn. But you have seen it over the last couple games. Not enough for me to say, hey, he's turned the corner, but turning it. And this Knick team is just a different basketball team when Mikal Bridges is playing at this level. You can't have the 0 point output that he had in, what was that, Game 3 in Atlanta, which was just an embarrassing performance from him. But you knew the player was in there. And I even admit, I lowered the bar a little bit. I said, all right, maybe this is the Mikal Bridges we're going to get here. You know, 10 points, 7 points, 12 points. But because he's great defensively, because he can contribute in other ways, even if it's a block shot here, a steal there, a three-pointer here, something, much like he did last year against Detroit in the playoffs, much like he did against Boston, just give me a play or two in crunch time that seals a victory. And to me, you are carrying your weight. Well, he's more than carrying his weight now. And it's not just one play here, one play there. He is a major contributor to these last two victories. So let's hope that he keeps going the way he's going, because if Bridges is playing like this and Anunoby, and we'll talk about OG a little bit more later on in the show here, I got you for another 2 hours, and how great he's been. If both of those guys are doing what they're doing, not only offensively but defensively, the Knicks are as good as anybody in the league. They have the best starting five in the East, and they are virtually unstoppable. And that's why you're getting the type of games and performances from this team right now, because the entire starting five is clicking. The chemistry's there. You know, Jalen Brunson, who Philly has no answer for, and you knew that going into the series. I mean, look what he did a couple years ago. Just put the cape on and was dominant in that series against Philly, whether it was at Madison Square Garden or on the road at Madison Square Garden South. He was sensational. And Philly didn't really do anything in these last couple years, personnel-wise, that made me think, boy, they have the guy to stop Brunson. Now, they can exploit Jalen on defense when he's on defense, but when Brunson has the ball in his hands, Philly has no answer for him. None. And Jalen would have had another, because he's routinely dropped 40 against Philly in these playoff series. He would have had 40 tonight if the game was close, which it wasn't. And they pulled him early with 35, but if he was out there for the usual amount of minutes that you expect from him, he would have easily gone past 40, probably 45, and would have flirted with 50. That's how dialed in he was, not only tonight, but that's how dialed in he is against Philly, especially in the playoffs. Just a masterful performance from Brunson and this entire Knick team. Rinse and repeat. Do exact, maybe some of those losses against Atlanta was wake-up calls. I certainly hope so, because this is the Knick team that I've always envisioned, you know, all these years when the dudes, the dogs are going to do damage, and Knicks in 26, and everything that I've said about them, not only in the offseason, but all year long, this is the Knick team that I envision. A team that can not only give you great offensive performances, I mean, they're dropping 140 in playoff games. Not just that, but also defensively, as they're holding opponents under 100 points. So there's nothing that they're not doing correctly on a basketball floor right now. And that's big-time trouble for the rest of the teams left in the playoffs. Let's go to Jawad and Parsippany here on After Hours. What's going on?
Logie, what's up? Hey. How are you doing?
Good, good. What's happening?
So, when's the last time we had a parade in New York City?
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, right?
Yeah.
Hear me out here. Are you a betting man?
Yes.
Okay. I say Knicks are going to win. Yankees are going to win, and the Giants are going to win.
Oh, so you want to parlay that?
No.
You want to parlay that?
We're going to parlay that.
Okay.
We're going to parlay that. $10 gets you $39,000.
Does it really?
Let's do it.
$10. Listen, I always say this, bet responsibly, but $10 is not that crazy, though. Now, listen, the only thing here's the problem with that one, Jawad, and I appreciate the call. I can't, you know, I'm not. Well, I guess it depends, because you could argue. Let me put it to you this way. I would be so thrilled that, let's start with the Knicks, if they win a championship. Now, if I get financial return for that, amazing. Now, I do think the Yankees, nobody's stopping them in the American League. The American League is hideously bad. The only team that's stepped up and given you anything so far is Tampa. And Tampa could be spunky. We know they give the Yankees problems, especially at the Trop. It's a dump, but it's their dump, meaning Tampa, even though it's all Yankee fans whenever the Yankees are down there. But Tampa's off to a great start, but that's about it in the American League. And now the news coming out of Detroit is Scooble's going to miss months with loose bodies. He's got the same injury that Diaz has, and he's got to get surgery. Scooble's going to be out for months. So that's a double whammy, because obviously that's a huge blow to Detroit. But also, Scooble's in a free agent year. Now, he's a great pitcher. He should be back before the end of the year. People are still going to back up the truck for him and give him a boatload of money. But I say this all the time, and Scooble is certainly in a different category, just like Skeens, just like Yamamoto. But this is why I am hesitant to give starting pitchers a lot of money for a lot of years, because it just feels like a ticking time bomb with a lot of these guys. And Scooble's now going to miss a bunch of months here. And what does that mean for the Tigers going forward? And are they going to be able to, because they have not gotten off to a great start even with Scooble. They're right around floundering around 500. You know, the Mariners have not got off to a great start here. Nobody has. The American League is so pedestrian. So I don't see anybody standing in the Yankees' way. And then as far as the Giants, look, I will be thrilled if they win the Super Bowl this year. I have giant expectations. I don't have those type of expectations, though. Like, I would love to see 10 wins. I mean, this is my expectations. 10 wins, 9-10 wins, make the playoffs. Really, it's make the playoffs. And it happens to be 9 wins, if it happens to be 11, if it happens to be 10, whatever. But I see this as a playoff team. If they can make a run to the Super Bowl and win it, great. If we could have 3, 4, 17 parades here, awesome. Absolutely.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you can make $40,000 off it for $10, don't let me stop you. Don't let me stop you. Have at it. Always bet responsibly, but it's $10. You have a little fun with it. I think that's a fun one. I think that's a fun one. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Larry in Bayside. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Tommy. Hey. How you doing?
Good, good. What's happening?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine, I'll tell you. Let's see. The last I spoke to you, it was a day before the NBA trade deadline. We both agreed, you know, cat should stay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at the team as a whole and I look at the year, I mean, these last few games have been incredible. But when I look at the whole thing, I believe that the second half of the year is that when they, is when they made the turn to play better defensively, just in general hustle, meaning Cat woke up,
yeah.
They got the ball down low, and then, you know, the rest was all good.
Yeah, Larry, I attribute it to, and I've said this a million times here, and I'll say it a million and one, I think Carl Anthony Towns, the whole stuff with Giannis and the cloud of Giannis over his head and that stuff getting out there in the media and him knowing about it and everybody knowing about it and being a conversation, I think it weighed him down mentally, and it attributed to his poor play on the basketball court. Like, the first half that we got from Carl Anthony Towns was definitely subpar what you expect from him. And then fast forward, the second half or post-trade deadline, that was the best basketball we've ever seen from Carl Anthony Towns as a Knick. And he's off to a great start here. He would have had his, what, fourth straight triple-double tonight if it wasn't a blowout. And he has been locked in defensively. He's locked in mentally. And this team, you said it, after they won the cup, they dipped a little bit. And I think part of that was Hart being out, Cat not being on his game mentally. And it, you know, bled onto the court in terms of him not producing. But once this team was able to lock in, yeah, they played well down the stretch. They played well in the second half. And they had a couple of missteps against Atlanta. But these last four games, they showed you their true power. And when they are at their A-plus game, nobody is stopping them in the East.
You said it. You said it. I'll tell you. And Ken, to add to that, he is an emotional, you know, ball player. So
yes.
I think media
yes.
did affect him. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, I'm speculating. I'm playing doctor. I'm playing therapist. But what else would it have been? I mean, he just turned it up right after the deadline. To me, that was weighing on him. And I remember before the season started, it annoyed me that the Giannis stuff got out there because of, Larry, the expectations going into this year. This is the first time the Knicks were a favorite to go to the finals in forever. And they,
yeah.
This is a team that, you know, is still trying to build chemistry. And we're on this fun run over the last couple of years. And then this Giannis nonsense comes out like right before the season or right at the start of the season. And I just knew it was going to be a cloud over the team and just a talking point, not only locally but nationally. And that just annoyed me because I was like, it's going to take the focus away of what the ultimate prize is, and that's getting to the finals and winning a championship.
No, it's true. And you said the word nonsense, and it was.
Yeah, of course. Giannis just wants to listen, at this stage, let's be real. Giannis needs the Knicks more than the Knicks need Giannis. That's just the truth. Where is Giannis right now? Home. And the Knicks are dominating the Eastern Conference playoffs.
On one last note, Tommy, Sterling.
Yes.
Oh, what an incredible. Did you happen to see the little tribute that the Yankees did at the stadium before?
I did. Beautifully done, pitch perfect. I thought it was an incredible tribute to John, for sure.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
And the manager, somehow the Yankees always have a way. The management is a class act.
First-class organization. Yeah, well, you're talking about the biggest brand in sports, and everything they do, it's first class. And John is, and I brought this up in the open. You know, John Sterling, in many ways, is as iconic to that brand and that team as some of the legendary players that ever played there. Now, I'm sure John, if he heard me say that, would be like, no, that's not true. But John Sterling is the voice of so many amazing, amazing Yankee moments. And I'm sure the Yankees win, we'll be hearing that at Yankee Stadium for years and years and years to come. Much like retiring a number, you know what I mean? Like, that's the footprint that he's had on the organization, the greatest organization in the history of sports.
No doubt about it. You know, my daughter is out in L.A., and I'll go to the sports bar out there.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you know, they don't know like we know anyway.
Yeah.
But that famous, you know, the
yep.
Yankees win, that they know.
Iconic. It's iconic.
Iconic.
It's iconic, Larry. And that's what John was. Iconic. A one of one. And somebody that will always be remembered, will never be forgotten, and is just a legend. And got to live the American dream. You know, born on the 4th of July, did every, much like Sinatra said, did everything his way. You know, he did it my way, did it his way. Got to live his dream to not only call games in the cathedral of Yankee Stadium, but all the great parks for this great sport that we all love called baseball. And to do it for the Yankees. And all the winning and all the success and all the championships and all the legendary players that have walked through that door, that John was the soundtrack for their careers. And he enhanced all of those moments. Like, you get chills. You don't have to be a Yankee fan when you hear those John Sterling calls. Because that's how great he was, the enthusiasm, that, you know, almost childlike enthusiasm. And it is. It's a kid's game. That's why sometimes, and this is why you hear a lot of positive Tommy, because at the end of the day, when you take a step back, people get nuts about this stuff. It's baseball. It's a game. It's the candy section. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be something we enjoy. Now, sometimes the team makes it hard for us to enjoy, but it still beats a lot of the other activities that you do in your life. And John got to be around this sport, you know, his entire adult life, into his 80s, a workhorse, an iron man, somebody that had a work ethic that young broadcasters in this business should strive for. I don't know how the heck you can duplicate it. Good luck. But definitely something you can, you know, whether it's a play-by-play, if you're coming up in the business or you're doing radio like I do on a talk radio, John Sterling's work ethic. This is a guy that was in his 80s, never missed an inning, never missed a game. He slowed down a little bit at the end, but we're talking about think about people that were John's age, what they would normally be doing, if they are even around, what they'd be doing in their 80s. And John was traveling the world calling Yankee games. The biggest brand in sports. And doing it with enthusiasm and doing it with passion. And that's why, to me, and Susan said it so eloquently and so beautifully, this is a celebration of somebody's life. Because it was a great life that was lived. And it was great of John to share it with all of us. And I used to, I would always get a kick out of my, because the calls are, the home run calls, and if you want to call it shtick or whatever you want to call it, but all the fun stuff that he did. But to me, my favorite John Sterling stuff was the conversations that he would have at times with himself. And as somebody that I am an only child, and I have conversations with myself, I can appreciate that. Because I can't tell you how many times to this day that I have conversations with myself. And John would have those conversations with himself. Well, anyway, you know, he would just like talk about, he would just be literally streams of consciousness during a Yankee game. And I always found it so entertaining. And I can't tell you how many times I would go out into the newsroom and I would talk to whether Schwei was out there or Huesler or whoever was out in the newsroom or whoever I was working with. Because like I said, I've produced or ran the board for countless Yankee games behind the scenes here before I was on the air. Countless. Can't remember, you know, doing nights and weekends. I did a million of them. And there would be John and, of course, Susan with him. And it would be so much entertainment and excitement and enthusiasm. And much like what you should do when you are on the radio, they brought, and John brought, the game to life. And he made it better and bigger. It's hard to think of all those runs and all those moments without his voice. Because he elevated it. And that's a mark of a great broadcaster and a great professional. And he was both of those things. And a true workhorse, an iron man. With just incredible pipes. You know, the voice is just amazing. Really a one of one. And couple that with the work ethic and the love for it. We played the clip last hour. You can go back on the Odyssey app, the rewind function. It was in the 1240 segment, so right around there. Susan got a phone call from John. They were on the road, the Yankees were, and he left it on her voicemail on the landline. And John, this is Friday, and obviously John passed away today. This is Friday. John was calling her. Not to talk about life or anything, but to talk about the Red Sox and why they got rid of Alex Cora. That's John. Like any experience that I've ever had with him, that was John. You know, one of my favorite stories that I had with him is I was producing for Carton and Roberts, and Craig, as he often did, hey, call so-and-so up, you know, during the show. So, you know, not before the show, obviously, but during the show. Let's run out of there and call somebody cold. Call John up. He wanted to get John. I forgot exactly why, but we wanted to get John on the phone. And like I brought up to you earlier, with John, it wasn't necessarily one of those situations where you would text him to get him on the air like most guests. You'd have to call him up, which is great. You got to talk to him, have a little conversation. But I remember calling him. And remember now, it's this long story. It's something that happened to John early in his career, and we had somehow stumbled on it or whatever, and we wanted to bring John on to talk about it. So now I have to call John up in the middle of the show, during either a break or during the show, and I always viewed that show, and maybe this is why I was wired a little too tight when I produced that show, but I always looked at it as like, I work with three, and I say this lovingly because I love all three of them, I work with three man children, with Craig and Evan and C-Mac. I felt like, and believe me, think about, especially if you view me the way I think a lot of you do, imagine me being the adult in the room. I'm the adult. The 40-year-old guy that wears his hat backwards is the adult in the room. Yes, with Evan, Craig, and C-Mac, I am the adult in the room. So I would always worry and get anxiety if I wasn't in there because I was, even though Craig's running the show, we all know that. He doesn't know whether, no one knows where the show is going except for him, but I'd like to think it sometimes. I had a little bit of a feel for where things were going. C-Mac had no feel for where everything was going, but as I digress here, I would be in a rush to want to get back in. So anywho, I call up John, and as you know, I'm a fast talker. So I'm trying to explain this backstory to John, also to see if he can come on the air. It wasn't like, hey, John, can you come on with Joe and Evan in 4 hours? No problem, my boy. And then that would be easy. No, I had to explain this story that something that happened to John, you know, 30 years ago that I'm pretty sure he probably wasn't going to remember, although he did. And I was talking very fast, as I can do, especially sometimes when I'm either a little bit nervous or pressed for time. So I'm talking fast. I'm trying to tell him the story. And in the middle of it, he stops me. He goes, Tommy, my boy, he goes, is there a big urgency for this? And I go, no. He goes, then why are you talking so fast? Sorry, John. I had to explain it to him. He goes, no problem. Just call me later when you need me. And I was like, all right, fair enough. You know, but John had that way about him, you know, that aura and that quiet delivery that he would have. You know, we all know the energy, but that just talking to him off air, that quiet delivery of, is there urgency to this? No. Then why are you talking so fast? Well, because I'm a fast talker, John, first of all. And second of all, I just, you know, Craig would put me in those positions that could be a little bit awkward where I had to explain something to somebody and try to get him on the air and 5 minutes later. But John was obviously gracious with his time, as he always was. And I've heard nothing but great things about him, how he was with fans and the whole nine. Taking pictures and autographs, because John was a legend. Both of them, John and Susan, just legends and as much a fabric as that of that organization as the players are. And I know they probably both would be humbled to hear that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Like, ask any Yankee fan and how revered both of them are because of the soundtrack that they've provided for not just Yankee fans, but all of us as baseball fans, summer after summer after summer. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Tommy is in Ridgefield, Connecticut. What's up, Tommy?
Thomas, how are you, sir?
Hey, what's happening?
I just wanted to talk about Mr. Sterling, mm-hmm. One of the best people that's ever lived. I can't thank him enough for the times that I spent with my father. And coming home from baseball tournaments and whatnot, listening to him on the radio.
Well, and that's the thing about not only baseball, because obviously, to me, baseball, above all the sports, it feels like the one that you watch with your father, your grandfather, or listening on the radio. For some reason, baseball sticks out to me more than all of them. And it's one of those things that you did, and it's get passed down to generation. And like I brought up before, television, it feels almost like this faraway place when you're watching TV. But when you listen to the radio, whether it's talk show or play-by-play, it just feels more personal, right? You feel like you create a friendship and a bond with the person on the radio.
You're painting a picture.
Yeah, it's theater of the mind. You know what I mean? And I think that adds, Tommy, to that relationship, because on TV, and that's not to take it away from anybody that does TV. Obviously, it's incredibly difficult, and everybody, you know, you do a tremendous job doing it. But with radio, you really have to make everything come to life, because I can't see what's happening. You have to tell me. You have to describe it to me. You have to paint the picture. You have to talk. You have to tell more stories in between pitches. And John, like I said, whether it was talking to Susan or talking to himself, he was just so damn entertaining at it. And then, of course, the calls and the iconic stuff that we heard through the years, just remember.
The
Stan one. Yeah, that was a great one. But I even like Tommy, and I appreciate the call. And we did this during the pandemic. We because obviously there was no sports going on, especially in the early start of 2020 or the early start of COVID. We did the John Sterling's, I don't think we did a bracket on Joe and Evan, but we did like every day we would take like four or five calls, and then I would, or Ernie at the time would give hints to Joe and Evan, and then they would have to guess who it is. And Joe would be like, bro, who is this? Ben Francisco? I mean, he was on the Yankees, bro. All right, let me hear this call. Let me hear the call, bro. Let me hear this. Now, let me hear it. Now, can you, Joe, can I play it? Let me hear this, bro. Let me freaking hear this, bro. And it was like, Ben Francisco. He's the Ben Francisco treat. And I always like the obscure ones more because we all remember the iconic ones, right? The Judge and A-Rod and Jeter, El Capitan and A-Bomb from A-Rod. Here comes the judge. Like, you remember all those. Burn, baby, burn. Georgie Juiced one. Like, those ones you remember forever because of those players and how iconic they were and how many years they spent here. But it's the ones that you forget, a Lance Berkman or a Ben Francisco or players like that. And I liked grabbing those obscure ones to play for, especially if you haven't heard it in forever, which a lot of us haven't heard because those players were no longer on the team and haven't been on the team in quite some time. The Bronx is Vernon. For Vernon Wells. And I was looking for, I gotta talk to Evan because we had all these calls and it was in his, I'll lift the curtain. He had them in his people folder somewhere. I was ready to play them and look, we'll play them throughout the week, so it's all good. But I couldn't find them. Those calls were in his people folder. Now, Evan doesn't strike me as somebody that would delete information. Number one, he's just not somebody that would do that. And number two, I don't even think he knew they were in his people folder. But I went looking for it here on our M drive and I couldn't find them. So I am on a mission to find them, and I will play them throughout the week as we continue to celebrate the life of John Sterling. And, of course, talking about the Yankees, they're off to an incredible start. We'll mix the Mets in later on into the conversation. I got you for another hour and a half. And the Knicks, of course, a dominating win as they have leveled up, as they are on a generational run, really on both ends of the floor right now. And I can't say enough great things. Number one, Brunson, the Sixers have no answer for him. We saw that a couple years ago. We saw that tonight. They just can't stop this guy. And if we get this type of performance from Mikal Bridges that we saw in Game 6 against the Hawks and then Game 1 this evening, the Knicks are going to be unstoppable. Because he truly, and I said this before he got here and then when he got here, he was the final Infinity Stone. He always has been. And for times, he wasn't. And he didn't play to that level of where he would be the final Infinity Stone. But in my mind, he was always that guy. And that's why at times it would be frustrating when he didn't get to that level. But it certainly seems like he's, if not turned the corner, he's turning the corner. Mike is in Miami. What's up, Mike?
What's up?
Hey.
How do you feel about Cat and Mitch Robinson getting through a foul trouble? Because that is going to affect the way we play. Because then you have to bring an upward. And that's, he could be the rookie. You know, he's young. So how do you feel going forward that if Mitch Robinson and Towns are in foul trouble,
yeah,
that's
going to
be a problem? But we still won the game, no, but yeah. It's just a concern.
No, I get it. Look, there's tough to find anything about this performance to be negative about, Mike, or concerned about. But I understand that. You know, four personal fouls for both of them and obviously not playing the full allotment of minutes that you would normally get because it was a blowout. And obviously Embiid, in the way that he goes about his business and the way that he at times will flop or create contact, it's definitely a concern. You don't want to have them, like if it's a close game and those guys are both on the bench, and we saw the Hakimich tonight, so it's obvious that Nick Nurse and the Sixers are going to do the Hakimich because they did it tonight. But yeah, foul trouble, if you wanted to find one thing, so good job by you, because it can't be all bliss. If you wanted to find one thing tonight that made you go, in a close game, this could be a problem, it's foul trouble for your two bigs. Because you're right, I like Huck Porty, but you know, for big minutes in a playoff game, you know, down the stretch, not exactly the strategy that you want to employ if you have a choice, which they wouldn't if both guys are in major foul trouble.
But I'm not worried because, like, what happened, because the next turn they switched on game four, they made the adjustment, so they can make the adjustment again.
Absolutely.
To worry about. We're good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Let's bring home this championship for New York. We suffered all those years, you know?
Well, certainly, especially Knicks fans.
Yeah,
especially Knicks fans, Mike. You know this. I mean, it's been way too long. Way, way too long. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but let's get through this series first and then go from there. But I didn't see anything this evening. And Philly certainly wounded coming in terms of all the effort that they put forward to battle back from 3-1, a game 7 on Saturday, short turnaround, back-to-back road games in two different cities, so not easy to do. This was almost expected, especially the only thing you could say, well, maybe the Knicks have a little bit of rust or because they were off for a bit. Didn't show any to me. As it was, you know, total belt the ass on the Sixers. But I saw nothing this evening that makes me think that that Philly is going to put up much of a fight. But I'm not ready to say it's completely and utterly over, although I thought the Knicks would win the series. But if they continue like this and play their A-plus game, this is a gentleman's sweep written all over it. But we have seen this Knicks team. Because right now, they have gone to that next level. And if they stay there, it's a wrap. But over the years, we know that they are prone, and it can happen at home a lot. You know, it seems like more at home than on the road. They could have these losses that are just mind-boggling, like they have a 12-point lead, a 20-point lead, a 15-point lead, and all of a sudden it gets erased, and they lose a game. Like, game two is this is what happened in the Atlanta series. Now, it didn't come back to bite them because the Hawks are an inferior opponent. Philly is better than Atlanta. They're not better than the Knicks, but they're better than Atlanta. By losing game two, a game that the Knicks should have won, it created a situation where it was now a series. And you allowed Atlanta, which is in a different situation. They're, you know, a younger team, sort of playing with house money. The expectations of their fans and just of everybody was not to win the series or go on a run. Philly, when you consider some of the star power they have and how some of these years they have been underachievers, the expectations and everything have now changed for them going into this series. Now, I'm sure the talk in Philadelphia is, well, they got to go beat the Knicks, especially when you consider the hatred and the rivalry that exists amongst the fans and the players on the team and everybody involved. So don't do what you did in the first round. Do not allow Philly, much like you did with Atlanta, to get back in the series. Keep your foot on the gas pedal. Steamroll them again. Go up 2-0, and then you are sitting very, very pretty. Because you know that, hey, they got to start winning some games at MSG, and good luck with that, the way the Knicks have played all year long at the Garden. And if they do it again in dominating fashion, this is a Philly team, and we've seen this before, you know, they've been underachievers, and you can take them out of the series. But if you allow them to leave with a split, and you give them hope, and you give them some momentum, now you're in for a fight. Much like there was a fight a couple years ago as far as the series went. And obviously, it came right down to the wire, a game 6 in Philly. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. I see everybody up here. We'll get to everybody. John Sterling, as we continue to celebrate the life of the legendary John Sterling. Knicks, a huge dominating playoff victory as they go 1-0, up 1-0 on the Sixers in their series with them. We will get into the Mets a little bit later on in the show as well, as we have 90 minutes to play with here on After Hours. If you want to join the conversation on any of those topics, the phone number to call is 888-808-1019. It is Lugie in the Late Night, Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
12:39 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. And this Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. OG Anunoby, in many ways, has been the MVP of the Knicks in this playoff run. You know, not only defensively, but offensively, his plus-minus has been through the roof. And this has really been the case ever since OG Anunoby was traded here as the Knicks acquired him from the Raptors, and they sent RJ packing, they sent IQ packing, which was a trade that I think some Knicks fans had a hard time wrapping their brain around because of the, hey, RJ was drafted by the Knicks, IQ was drafted by the Knicks, these are homegrown guys, so to speak. Who's this OG Anunoby? But in reality, Anunoby, as far as defensively, was a major upgrade over the two of them. And then offensively, the ability to not need the basketball in his hand, to have more chemistry with a Jalen Brunson, with the star of the team. I always thought that was a better fit, OG Anunoby was, than RJ and IQ, because OG doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's not ball dominant. And we know guys like Brunson are. So he, in OG Anunoby, is a better, I say this complimentary, but he's in his own right an excellent player, but a complimentary player to a guy like Jalen Brunson. And Anunoby, when he's been healthy, you know, throughout these playoff runs, he is the X factor. And if he goes down an injury, it's a bad scene. Like he did a couple years ago where basically everybody got hurt against the Pacers. But it started with Anunoby. OG truly is so important to this team. And in some ways, unsung, because of obviously all the accolades that Brunson gets, all the attention that Cat gets, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, for better or worse. And then sometimes you almost forget about OG Anunoby. And part of that is his personality. He's not very boisterous. He just goes about his business. But he has been so important to this team since he's come over in the trade from the Raptors. He has just been incredibly vital to this team and what they do on both ends of the floor. And you always dreamed about this combination of him and Bridges being those two-way players, because let's be real, Brunson isn't, Cat isn't. So to have the two-way players on, and Josh Hart, look, he can do everything, but it's not like he's going to light it up with 30 points. I mean, he could. He certainly done that, but you're not expecting him or needing him to be that. But with Bridges and Anunoby, and Anunoby has done more of it, and Bridges is starting to do this, is not only lock down some of the best players on the other team, but also to score the basketball. I mean, Mikal Bridges got a standing ovation, essentially, at Madison Square Garden during a playoff game. That's where we're at right now. That's how, not only the way this team is playing, but also the way that Bridges is playing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Michael in Shark River Hills is on the fan. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Lugie?
Hey.
Thanks for letting me get on, and it's good to talk to you. Just wanted to tell you, I was at the game tonight, me and my dad. He's been a fan. He's 71. I'm in my late 30s. That is the most dominant playoff performance we have ever attended or seen in our life as Knicks fans. I mean, I've seen enough. Jalen Brunson, put him on the Mount Rushmore of greatest Knicks of all time. He's a top four Knick all time, and when it's all said and done, he could be the number one Knick of all time. This team is the class of the East. They're going to the finals. I don't want to hear anything otherwise. I think you agree. This team is destined to make the NBA Finals.
Yeah, look, I felt that way, and I appreciate the call, Mike. I felt that way since the beginning of the year. And that has been the not only my feeling, but also my expectations. And throughout the roller coaster ride of the season, I always stayed consistent with this team. And I attributed some of their losing streaks or some of their poor play to an injury here, trying to work through the chemistry. This is also true of, hey, look, this starting five, it's not like they've been playing together for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, and they should be a well-oiled machine. Plus, you brought in a new coach. So, yeah, there's going to be times where it's not perfect throughout the regular season. And I also think the Knicks were kind of playing a little bit of a cat-and-mouse game. No pun intended, because Carl Anthony Towns is on the team. But I don't think they were always tipping their hand. And they were, look, I think they were content with, hey, we're the one seed, whatever, we're the two seed, whatever, we're the three seed, whatever, because when we get to the playoffs, we think we're better than everybody, we're going to turn the switch on, and we're going to get to the finals. And that's certainly how it's gone through the first round and now this game. Now, as far as the Brunson stuff, you can't be on the Mount Rushmore until you win a championship. You can't. And even if you put Patrick on there, you know, then but you have to have the longevity, which Jalen has. And I love Jalen Brunson, but it's tough when you have, there are guys that have won championships and are iconic players. When you have Reed, when you have Frazier, I mean, those, let's start there. And I know Patrick could probably be on there, but Patrick also one of the greatest of his, not only generation, but of all time. So Brunson still has a way to go there, but if he wins a championship, of course. Obviously, he's on there. No doubt. But they got a long way to go before that's the case. And look, Jalen Brunson has turned this franchise around. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't alone. So I think there's a lot of people that deserve credit for it, including Tibbs, who built this program up and certainly deserves his flowers. And ultimately, whatever this team does in this run here in the playoffs will either validate the Knicks for getting rid of him or will validate those that were against it. Someone's going to come out a winner here. Now, we're all going to be winners, especially if you're a Knicks fan and you didn't want to get rid of Tibbs, you still win if this team goes to the finals. Like, I would hope your take and your feeling on it would not overshadow the Knicks going to the finals. I don't care who's coaching the team as long as they go to the finals. That's all I care about, is the team's success. And I trust ownership, and I trust Leon Rose, another guy who deserves all the credit in the world for this, the architect of this team, for the decision that they made in the offseason, which was certainly unpopular to a lot of Knicks fans out there. But I would imagine, if not 100%, got to be over 90% of those people that were against Mike Brown being hired now have to realize just what this team is doing under his watch and these dominating performances. Like, this is generational type of stuff right here on both ends of the floor. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's up, Loogie?
What's happening?
First off, I want to get to the Knicks, but first off, I got to pay my respects to John Sterling.
Of course.
Now, I grew up as a Mets fan. Now, through the years, I remember the day, the year that I started watching the Mets was 1994, but I was in love with the Mets from the late 80s up until that point. But I didn't understand it. My dad was always watching the Mets. So I said, has Bobby Bonilla still on the team? Is Gooden still on the team? He's like, yeah. Did they win? Yeah. So I knew my love was there. And then I started watching the Yankees in the mid-90s. I started falling in love with that team. And people were like, you can't love the Yankees and Mets. I'm like, well, something's happening here. And I honestly love both teams the same. And I'm like, my dream is to have them both in the World Series. And whoever wins, I'm happy. And I remember being in Boy Scout camp and having Charlie Hayes.
Charlie Hayes?
Yeah, he made the left out. He's like, Yankees win. Yankees, and they win the World Series. I remember that. And I love the Yankees all the way up until the date that I remembered that I turned away and it stuck with the Mets was 2006 because I got tired of flip-flopping on TV. And I was like, all right, who's the team that I'm really in love with? Who's the team that I'm embedded with? I think it's the Mets. The Mets are always number one. But John Sterling was always something to me because I was always listening to the late games and I always had the utmost respect for him. And
yes,
there was a lot of guys that were my age at that point in time that loved the Yankees. It was a fad, you know. Like, how would you not love those 90s Yankees?
No, of course, the success and all the dominance that they had. Yeah, look, I can understand that if you were, because that's the thing. In this town, you have a choice. It's not like we're in Kansas City or Philly. There's a choice. You can root for the Yankees. You could root for the Mets. Obviously, you could root for someone else not in New York, but you have two New York teams, so you could pick. So you have what I call swing state fans that some of them are like, well, maybe I'll go to the Yankees. Maybe I'll go to the Mets. And it depends on how well either team is doing. Maybe that impacts their decision. But there were so many new Yankee fans that were made during the 90s because of how great they were, of course.
Yeah, but I realized that, you know, my true love is the Mets because they were my first love, and I can't stand the Yankees now. I respect them, but I mean, I'm diehard Mets. I'm all the way. I'm full throttle with the Mets. Now, Tommy, I got to tell you, and you've heard me tell before, I can't stand any Philly team. I can't even stand the city.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was in Bristol, PA. That's where my brother lives.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Yankees fan. He's also an Eagles fan. That's the only Philly team he likes, and I can't stand that. So we were there for my 75th birthday.
Your dad's 75th birthday, right? Yep.
Yeah. And I ended up door dashing in Philly during the night. I was like, you know what? I kind of want Philly to win because I want to beat them in the second round. So I'm listening to WIP. Tommy, I don't know if you were hearing any of the scripts from these guys. They thought that they're going to walk all over us. They were so cocky. They thought they're like, oh, we want New York, we want New York. I know, they idol us.
Of course.
And they thought they really going to stop us. I mean, we beat the heck out of them tonight. I did not expect this.
Well, they'll be singing a different tune tomorrow in Philly and on that radio station for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always great. I lived down there for 4 years. I was in torture. I mean, I was like, oh man, I lived in Burlington. I'm like, this is all Philly area.
Yeah, I went to college in PA. Now there was some New Yorkers and some New Jersey people, but there were more Pennsylvania people. So it was Eagle country, it was Philly's country, and this was during one of the Mets collapses. So I was just surrounded by it at times, and I feel your pain on that type of stuff.
Yeah. So you know, listen the whole time. I'm like, oh boy, these guys are they don't know what they're in for. Like, we're not Boston, man. We actually play defense, and we step up our game in the playoffs. Yeah. I'm like, they're not going to – we don't even need Bridges to be our top three. I was like, oh, gee, the way he's playing, if he plays the same way that he played in the first round, there's no match. And I'm watching the game, and OG didn't have his big game. Townsend has his big game. Brunson single-handedly beat them. I'm like, I'm ready to go online. Like, Where's the smack talk now? I was like, oh, you guys thought you were all so tough. I know it's only game
one.
Well,
listen, their smack talk they'll retreat and turn on the team. That's kind of the way that town operates. They'll talk a lot of smack, and then when their team gets smacked, they will start to rip the team because they have such a love-hate with that basketball team down there, Chris, and I appreciate the call. They have such a love-hate relationship. I mean, a couple years ago, they were done with that run and done with that team. And in many ways, that's why the Knick fan invades the building, and it's become MSG South. More on that next hour, by the way. But I'm sure they were feeling cocky and confident because they battled back, won the series from the Celtics. You know, you're down 3-1. There was a lot of people, including the odds makers, that had, the odds makers usually get it right. There's a reason why in Vegas they could keep the electricity on 24/7, 365. They usually get it right. I couldn't believe the Celtics were the odds-on favorite to get to the freaking finals. What? They have no front court at all, and all they do is chuck threes. If they don't hit threes, and they had one of their star players that at any turn could get hurt again because he rushed back from an Achilles injury, how in the world are they the odds-on favorite? When the Knicks started the year as the odds, so and Cleveland did this, and both of those teams are in the playoffs. I'm not sure what Boston did to leapfrog anybody. Other than the fact that they are the Boston Celtics and its reputation. That's the only thing that I can come up with. It's reputation. How could you possibly think Tatum was going to hold up? There was a major question mark there. Major. He came back from an Achilles injury early. So, and they were a sinking ship, to say the least, the Celtics, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to play them in this round, because I knew they were battered, bruised. Tatum at any moment could get hurt again, and they had zero front court. That gives you any type of nightmares when you consider KP gone, Horford gone, Cornette gone. And the guys that they were starting in that Game 7 in their front court, I mean, please. This is the Boston Celtics. This is the team that is the favorite to go to the finals in the East. And then they end up blowing off 3-1 lead in the first round. So I understand why the Philly fan was cocky and confident and feeling their oats a little bit. But like I said, they hate this team. Deep down, they hate the team. So they'll turn on the team quickly. And I'm sure that'll be the conversation tomorrow about how they're this, they're that, they're this, they're that. And yeah, they hate the Knick fans. They are even taking shots at my guy. A lot of people were. You know what? Listen, if Ben Stiller wants to go to the Met Gala, let him go to the Met Gala. He had the game. What did he miss tonight? Not much. I mean, the Knicks just completely dominated. And he had it on the phone. I saw the videos. Knicks in six. He was going to watch it on the phone. How many weddings have you been to during a sporting event? How many events that you have to go to that you had to miss a sporting event or have it on your phone? Luckily, these days, we could watch it on the phone. Show me a wedding, and I'll show you a bunch of sports fans at one of the tables watching a game on their phone. I'll give you a quick little story here. I was at a family wedding. This was obviously before you could watch games on your cell phone. It was the night of the Ventura Grand Slam single. Watching the game at a wedding. It was one of those weddings that was at a golf course type of venue, you know what I mean? Type of hall where it's on the golf course. So there was a clubhouse as well where there was a television. And myself, my grandfather, my uncles, my cousins, we were all sneaking from the wedding to watch the game. And at one point, we missed the big family photo. Like if you've ever seen The Godfather, they take that big family photo. You know, I think it's kind of an Italian tradition to do during a wedding. You take the big photo, and myself and many of my family members were not there for it. Well, needless to say, it didn't go over very well, especially with the non-sports fans. So many of us, and I was young at the time, I didn't really have a lot of say, were banned from going to watch the game, so I missed that moment. Missed it, because I didn't have my phone to put it on. But luckily, Ben Stiller could watch the Knick game on his phone. Take a couple pictures at the Met Gala. I don't even know what the hell. I know about the Met Gala. I don't know what it is other than the red carpet. Does it exist past that? It's just a bunch of famous people at the Met Gala. Now, I will say this about Ben. He should have got on the same page with Timothy Chalamet. That he should have done. Because Timothy was at the game and Ben wasn't. So that kind of made Ben look bad a little bit. Like, they should have got on, because Kylie Jenner was obviously Tim's girlfriend there. He kind of ditched her for the Knick game, which is all good. But they should have got on the same page together. They should have said, hey, should we ditch our ladies here to go to the Knick game? Should we go to the Met Gala together? They should have got on the same page. That's the only thing I would say. But leave Ben alone. Great Knick fan. Ben Stiller tweets during the summer league about the Knicks. He's a diehard fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. We got another hour to play here. We'll continue to honor the life and legacy of John Sterling. We will talk about the Knicks, of course, their just beyond impressive victory over the Sixers in Game 1. We'll mix in the Mets a little bit into the conversation as well. The Yankees have continued their torrid start here as they are now head and shoulders the best team in the American League, and they sweep the Orioles in a four-game set. So there's a lot to do, and we'll have your phone calls as well at 888-808-1019. That is the number to join the conversation. It's After Hours, Lugie and the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.